Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host with The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you every single Thursday at 7 p.m., and we come to you live, and we are the show that has been set up for businesses, all of your business needs, the challenges, the things that you've thought about, and the things that you haven't thought about, from planning for our new year in COVID, to your finance, to raising capital and managing capital. And we've even spoken to you about your health and your mental health. And over the past couple of weeks, you've had an opportunity to really get to know both myself and my co-host very well and what we do. And before I go on, you know, we always have a great guest, and tonight will be no different. But before we introduce our guest, you have to meet my co-host. I never fly this journey alone. Lori, let them know you're here.
Hi, thank you, Ted, and thank you, Barbara, for joining us. This is Lori Miller of LGC Interior Design and co-host of our podcast, The Creative Alchemist. So we bring to you all things that are not only business-related, but that relate to your business, and that would be personal health, wellness, and anything that interferes or helps your business. So tonight I'm going to thank Barbara for coming aboard. And Barbara, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and speak about what you do and what's important to you.
Oh, wow. Hi, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here. And so my name is Barbara Hopkinson. My background is in the corporate world, many years in software and 10 years at IBM. And the reason kind of I'm on this show or do this, what I do now around my grief recovery work for helping people find resilience after loss, because while I was in the corporate world, I lost three of my four children. My 21-year-old son, Brent, died at a motorcycle accident in 2002. My third son, Robbie, was full-term stillborn in 1987, and I had a miscarriage before that. So it just kind of propelled me into this world of loss, and my 30-year marriage fell apart after my older son died. Then I met a great guy who was my second husband, and he died suddenly 3 years ago. So I've kind of had experience with this, all different kinds of loss. I lost the sight in my eye due to just a fall in a gym, a couple of years ago too. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you kind of get hit from a lot of angles, but I believe this is my purpose in life. So now I'm an advanced certified grief recovery specialist in grief recovery method, the only evidence-based grief methodology out there. And I have run a support group, a local chapter in north of Boston of the Compassionate Friends, which is the largest grief organization in the world, supporting and it supports families that lost a child, grandchild, or sibling. And then a butterfly's journey, the other nonprofit I started, is supports all kinds of grief, as does grief recovery method and loss. That was a long sentence, sorry.
Okay, yep, we're here. So it sounds like you have a very, very extensive and I don't want to say eclectic, but you've developed some expertise in more than one area. You know, when you and I spoke, we talked about you being a retired techie, and
yes.
now people, when you think of technology, you don't think of intimacy in any way, right? So, you know, they think of algorithms and software and coding and stuff, you know, zeros and ones. And now you've gotten into really intimately involving yourselves with people in their lives, and you know, in some ways you help save people from going down a path that is not so comfortable, and you've experienced loss on your part. Lori has recently, and so have I. So I think by a certain age we all experience loss, and even for you, you look at loss in more than one dimension, and we'll get to that later. But tell us a bit about, you know, so you I mean, people could say, you know, this was, your life was sort of like a Shakespearean tragedy. I mean, you were seeing one loss after another, right?
It's obviously had its ups and downs. Actually, a year after my son died, I considered suicide. I did attempt suicide, but it became my turning point. And it was after that that I started the support chapter, and then that led me to write actually a few books, and then led me to open that second nonprofit of A Butterfly's Journey. So I've really come to believe that the reason I had to experience all different kinds of loss, I actually lost a brother also, but it was before I was born. But, you know, my parents used to talk about him all the time, so I felt like I knew him. Anyway, I really feel like, you know, I needed to go through that sort of loss, all these different kinds of losses, because this is my purpose in life, and it's what I was meant to do. And a lot of people, like when they go through loss, and everybody grieves in some way. Everybody has grief, not just for death, but for all many kinds of losses, loss of jobs, relationships, many kinds of losses going on now with COVID. But you know, it hits you when you're in the corporate world, like it did me, and it's very hard to be productive and attentive. And we have a lot of issues around that because we really don't handle grief that well in the corporate world, in my opinion.
So, Barbara, I have to ask you, like you said, that, you know, there's people who suffer, you know, so many things and so many tragedies, and, you know, some are mild and some are significant. Like, what was your turning point? What made you stop and say, I have to turn this into my life journey, my life's work? Like, this is my purpose.
You know, I think after, because my losing my 21-year-old suddenly, he was on his way, Brent, and he was on his way to being an Army pilot. He was out at a junior at Arizona State University and had committed, to Army ROTC, who wanted to fly helicopters. And it was such an extensive loss because he was getting engaged and, you know, had plans, had all kinds of life plans. And it threw me for such a loop. And then my first husband, was also dramatically affected, quit his job a month after he died. And it was just so dramatic, and he had such an impact. But he ended up leaving me for a younger woman a year after my son died. So the combination of those things is what really kind of where I hit bottom. But while I was I attempted basically using carbon monoxide, which gave me some time to think, and I realized that I could not do that to my remaining son, Brad. So he really, the thought of him and our connection to each other pulled me out of it, and became a turning point. So I said I instinctively knew that helping others would help me heal. And so I just forced myself. Luckily, I made a call. My sister answered the phone. You know, I reached out for help, and it turned out okay. And it actually became a motivation for me to reach out. And then in working with so many other families that have lost children, and then later on people that had all kinds of loss, it just was so motivational. And these people, it's like when you've gone through a real tragedy, things become crystal clear about what's important and what's not, and the people are amazing, you know, that I work with and that I've met over the years, and they're just inspirational. So it became a real turning point for me.
Thank you for sharing that. So go ahead, Ted, you're on.
I was just going to ask so tell us about your nonprofit and what it does and how it helps people.
Oh, thanks. Okay, sure. Well, like I said, I've got my local, I'm north of Boston, almost in New Hampshire, Newburyport, Mass. And anybody that can kind of drive, I do support group meetings, and I've been doing that the longest. And the Compassionate Friends USA, it's a local chapter of that. There's probably 600 or 700 chapters all over the country. But my nonprofit that I started started in 2013 and became a 501c3 in 2015 has kind of three main areas, and one of them are these grief recovery method classes that I teach, and it's an action based methodology. So it's succinct and finite. It's got homework and tools that are very proven. It's been around 40 years. Worked in it's used in six continents, and created by John James and the Grief Recovery Institute. He's a bereaved dad as well, and it's the only evidence-based methodology. So I offer those classes, and I do them over Zoom. I got an advanced certification and do them, over Zoom or locally with people, potentially in person, but obviously we're all being careful around COVID now. And then there's a resource center on my site, which is abutterfliesjourney.org, and that is possessive, not plural, so it's F-L-Y-S. There's a free resource center with hundreds of resources, articles, books, TED Talks, videos, all kinds of things, resources for people around all different types of grief, and they can access that on the site. And then I do something, I created Faces of Resilience, which is the mission is for open expression of grief, loss, and love. So I literally take a mobile photo shoot, photographer, lights, backdrop, the whole bit, and we go to grief events, which haven't been happening really much this year, but I've been doing this since 2015, where we encourage people to express themselves about their grief, and I write their messages. They create the messages, and I write them on their skin with washable magic markers. So it washes right off, but it's very cathartic for grievers to do that. It's very visceral. And then I take their photo, and we actually professionally edit it and send them the photo. So it's a catalyst when they get the photo and they get back home. It's a catalyst for them to talk about their grief with family, friends, et cetera, because it's the most healing thing you can do is really talking about your grief, but we don't do that very well in our culture. So, and I was able to take that. I've done that all over the country for 5 years, and last year I was able to take it international, Canada, London, and the Caribbean, and I would like to be able to take it more international in the future. And we have our first photo book called Faces of Resilience with examples of these amazing people that express themselves in this way.
Wow, that's quite amazing. Lori and I ask you more questions, I'd like to open up the lines for anyone who has a question for you, Barbara. The area code is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. You can call in and ask Barbara any questions you'd like on this topic. We're going to, in a little bit, get into some of the other areas of loss. But I want to ask you, Barbara, this is a pretty big commitment, and it sounds like it takes not just the resource of your time, it takes the resource of some other levels of expertise, and I don't know if you have all of that expertise to give your clients or the people you support to fulfill all their needs. So it sounds like you've made a business out of this, or are you just doing this out of the kindness of your heart and your own bank account?
Well, it's a nonprofit. I don't take anything out of it. Any fundraising I do goes directly to the costs. And there are significant costs, as you might imagine, to do mobile photo shoots at events all over the country and starting to be all over the world. And then I need help sometimes with editing the photos and with things like loading resources into the resource center or different things like that. But yes, but everything, it's a 501c3, so any donations are tax deductible. And everything, 100% of it, goes towards supporting costs and services for people. There are some costs to grief recovery methods, but
go ahead. There are some costs.
It's like 7 weeks of an hour to 2 hour for each discussion. So there's a fair amount of direct commitment for that. But everything goes to support the work we do.
Okay, and. Are there any people who donate their expertise to you to support your efforts?
Well, I have, I've got people, again, that people that are on the board that, help me strategize, people that help me. Sometimes we actually do an annual walk to remember, and we do some events. Sometimes we do different kinds of events. We've done, vendor showcases and, things like wine tastings, even Texas Hold'em tournaments. whatever. And then, of course, there's a donate page on my site, butterfliesjourney.org. But, yeah, people will help me with those. And sometimes I get some volunteer help to, you know, sometimes with the resource center or things like that, or, you know, or as we travel or places we stay, you know, sometimes we stay with the people that are hosting the events, you know, things like that to cut down costs.
Okay. All right. Lori, I think you wanted to ask her something.
Well, I did ask Barbara, you know, what her turning point was, but I know, like, I've, you know, in the DA's office, I worked with so many people who lost, you know, parents who lost their children, et cetera. And, you know, it is devastating. And I'm just wondering if there's like one or two, I guess, key points or things that, you know, Barbara could offer. I mean, Barbara offers a lot, you know, and so if there's one or two things she can offer the audience to kind of help them shift to either, you know, take part and join in, or reach out to Barbara or grab her book, or, you know, just to be able to talk about the loss. Because I think, like Barbara, like you said, you know, it's not something that we talk about. We kind of bury it, and it's almost, you know, oh, we can't talk about that. It's going to hurt, you know, it's going to be painful. So we'll bury it.
That gives me all kinds of ideas, which answers in different directions, Lori. But let me just first state that I want to, grief is a normal and natural reaction to loss of any kind. So people should not feel that they're crazy or that they're different or that their grief is in any way unusual. It's a response to, grief is a response to a change in or end of any familiar pattern of behavior. So, you know, it's okay. It's normal for you to really feel, you know, lousy about it. And, you know, in addition to things that are concrete, like the grief recovery method classes, this is very complementary to things like support and therapy. It is not trying to replace those at all. But support groups, for instance, are wonderful, and you get to meet like-minded people and get to talk about your grief, which is very helpful, but it's not really an action-based thing, right? And therapy, you know, it actually helps relieve, because the grief recovery method digs into things and helps you discover and express undelivered communications with your lost loved one. And so it helps you free up things that make therapy work better. But in general, people are, you know, they just, yeah, sometimes they go inward, or other people don't really know how to handle it. So many of my bereaved parents have told me that one of the things that is the most difficult for them is people just avoid them, especially after they've lost a child. They don't know what to say to them. They're afraid that they want to, that they might, you know, bring up more pain. And that's not the case. You can't, you know, when you get a loss like that, it's in your face for a while. You can't, right. You just can't, like, forget it. They're not reminding you of anything, right? The best thing you can do for a grieving person is to just express, like, say, you know, you're sorry for the loss, talk their name, maybe tell a story about their loved one, and then just don't run. Listen, let them talk. Because most people don't let them talk. They run away from them around corners in supermarkets. And people see them doing this, and it's hurtful. Seriously. I have people telling me that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
they don't know what to
running.
Say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
interesting.
I get it. It's a scary thought. You know, it's kind of a scary thought. I think people can't think about it in the context of their own lives. So they just run. And, you know, it's difficult for the person you're running from. But anyway, sorry, Ted, go ahead.
Right. No. It's interesting you say that, because, you know, I lost both parents at the same time. I was 21. And, you know, you figure both sides of the family, everyone's distraught. And I had a buddy who was 10 years older than me. And, my family was in Jersey. He lived in New York. And I called him and said, hey, man, I'm in town, because I was living in D.C. And I said, I'd like to hang out. And I've got to tell you, my parents just died. But here's the only way I want to hang out with you, on one condition. You have to treat me normal, like you always have. If you feel sorry for me, I'm just going to rudely walk away from you, because I need some normalcy right now. And
yeah,
he said, sure.
And he said, He just said, sure.
Oh, he said, yes, sure. He said, sure. He said, no problem. And so, you know, when I go to his house and he said, okay, I just have to ask you one question, what happened, and then we'll just go on and be normal. And I was like, cool. And it was not an escape because, like you said, the death was in my face. You know, I had three siblings who were younger, two were minors.
Yeah.
So I had to deal with the estate and lots of other things. Except I just needed some place to be me, is what I needed.
Right. Yeah.
So.
No, I get it. Who lost both his older
and not have people run away like you were saying. Oh, there he is. We don't know what to say, so we'll just say nothing and just avoid him. So I needed some contact with, you know, conversation with someone.
Right.
Sorry.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. No, it's tough. Yeah, I'm very sorry for your loss. It's at that age, boy, that's a big deal. It's like your foundation was pulled out from under you.
Yeah, no question. I don't know how you say benefit, but I was already had gone to college in another state, so I was living I had some level of independence that my siblings hadn't had. So you know, still rough. So, but you know, you speak a lot about the loss in terms of death, and you say there are about 43 other ways of experiencing loss. And in this pandemic, you know, unfortunately, there are people who have lost someone or maybe facing that. You know, they could have been older or just had a compromised immune system, even if they were younger. Talk about some of the other things. And, you know, I would say this is timely. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, COVID-19 is affecting our lives in so many different ways. And sometimes the loss is the result of a death in the family or friends. And sometimes the loss, looking at COVID, can be non-death. It could be other ways. So can you talk about that and some of the other, you know, you don't have to go through a list of 43 unless you want to, but what are some of the other ways?
I don't have them off the top of my head, yeah.
Okay. Good, great, okay.
Yeah, the grief recovery method does list 43 kinds of loss, but the main categories, of course, are death of a loved one, but then also separation or death of a relationship, loss of a job. Loss of maybe a home or income or, all kinds of things, you know, widows and widowers, even loss of a partner if you're not married or, you know, whether it's same sex or not, you know, it doesn't, same gender or not, it really doesn't matter. The point is it's really grief is a response, again, I'll repeat this, to a change in or end of any familiar pattern of behavior. Loss of a pet. You know, we have, you know, different things like that. It's very difficult. And during COVID, there's so much loss. It's overwhelming because not only you've got all of these deaths and so many people that not only had to die alone because they couldn't have their loved ones with them, but the people that are left didn't get to say goodbye. And then so many people lost jobs, right? The economy is struggling. And so many people have maybe lost their homes or been separated from their loved ones or, you know, so many people that are elderly and in various kinds of elder care facilities and they can't have visitors. You know, loss of relationships. There's just so many. And like I said, loss of pets. You know, pets are family, you know. I've had one woman that came and took the class and, you know, her pet that she had for 15 years, she actually had a dog walking business and he was with her constantly and she didn't have any children and that dog was like her child, you know. So there's so many different kinds of loss and we don't, you know, get to acknowledge them or very often, you know, get some help in healing them. And everybody suffers loss of some kind.
Okay. Yep. Very true. How about aside from losing pets or friends and family, there right now some people may have lost their job and You know, things were going, life was good.
Absolutely.
Or the company's out of business, or, you know, there are lots of restaurants that have been wiped off the map.
Yeah.
You know, there are some companies that didn't make it.
Exactly. No, I get experience that kind of loss as well. Twice I've gotten laid off of jobs that were that I was at for 10 years, and because of either the company was failing or because, change in technology or a shift in resources, you know, from the U.S. to emerging countries or,
you know, things like that.
So, yeah, it's devastating because I remember at one point with my first husband, I got laid off the day after my mother's funeral, when I came back from my mother's funeral, and then my husband got laid off the month after that, and we had this huge process of replacing all the windows, like, in the house, and we're both out for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months. It was an interesting time when you've got to be really creative, but, you know, but it's not just about the finances. It's about the emotions, and what do you do? How do you think of yourself? What am I now? You know, how do I go to the next step? There's lots of things associated with that.
There's whole self-confidence. Am I ever going to make it in another job? Why did they fire me? There's so many pieces to that. That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about it, even for example, with widows and widowers. And you know, if the one whose primary income you're relying on passed away. My second husband died of a widowmaker heart attack, literally a quarter of a mile from the house. He was driving to work. We had tickets for a show that night. It was totally unexpected. And, you know, luckily I've been independent, but he was, you know, it was sudden. And in some cases, the other person is very reliant on not only that person emotionally, but maybe financially. And it just has massive ripple effects. And you have to, you know, climb out. You have to kind of figure it out and climb out. And, you know, there's lots of different things that might help in addition to things like these classes and therapy and support groups, you know, for your particular kind of loss. But, you know, things like journaling. I was surprised after my son died, my remaining son, who, God bless him, Brad, now is a chef, owns his restaurant, has two great kids. I just babysat for them today. They're 3 and 1. Brent Soraya. He got me a journal, a leather-bound refillable journal. I had never kept a diary or anything like that. I could not believe how cathartic it was to be able to write the good, the bad, the ugly, your feelings. Nobody ever has to see it. You know, you can just write it all down, let it out. You can put questions. You can write letters to your lost loved ones. It's very powerful. You know, and then things like walking in nature and exercise and you know, there's just so many things that you can do that help. It's like there's no silver bullet here. You have to try multiple things and keep an open mind. I was in the corporate world. You know, I was an executive for IBM, and, you know, a lot with the pressure and deadlines and quotas. And when my son died, I remember, you know, saying to my boss, okay, I need to change jobs here. I need to get a different job in this environment. And people were very supportive of me. It was great, but I was not very effective for a while, you know, and you have to just slog your way through it, you know, and try to find things that help. And one of the big turning points for me was when I didn't just think of my son's loss or any of my losses as a loss, but I started thinking of their life as a gift to me. That was a big turning point for me. And I got to that point, thank God, with all of the different losses.
Interesting.
Barbara, did you meditate as well?
Yes, meditation is very powerful. And it's one of those things where people sometimes roll their eyes, right? You know, sometimes they say, don't worry about the meditation. Just call it deep breathing, you know. Just sit and close your eyes and breathe in, like, into your nose, you know, for a count of 4 and out of your mouth for a count of 6 and do it several times. I mean, if you do it 3 times, it calms your parasympathetic nervous system and takes a lot of stress out of you in any situation. But but to do it like 25 times, to lay in bed and you can't sleep, try doing that like 25 times. I can't stay awake if I do it 25 times. So, you know, different things like meditation is or deep breathing even is absolutely proven to be beneficial and stress reducing. And honestly, when you make it a regular habit, that is the best way. I believe in the afterlife, and I believe that all of our spirits continue. And so that is the best way I find to connect, to feel like I'm connected to my loved ones, is during meditation, especially if I can make myself do it regularly, which I find very difficult. That's because I'm a little too hyper. But it really helps.
So
I guess go ahead, Ted.
No. Go ahead, Lori. Please.
No, I didn't want to take Barbara off the topic of what she does, but you did kind of lead in, right, saying you believe in the afterlife or whatever, and you do feel connected, and I think a lot of us do. But I'm just wondering if you ever, like, communicate with your kids or communicate with your husband or, you know, any of that. That's just a personal question.
Sure. Well, I've definitely had signs, and I've gotten to the point, because I actually took classes in trying to develop that capability, and I've been told, I need more I need more quiet time, I need more downtime. I have a difficult time being still. But I do that. I actually can feel a connection, and I can feel now after, you know, a few years of practice. I do believe, and there are genuine, you always should be referred to someone, not go blind, but there are genuine people like mediums and that have this capability. And I know I've got a few as friends. But I've had other signs that I can feel a presence sometimes. And I've got other people that are friends that have this capability, but they're not mediums. They don't offer services. They don't pay them for anything. And I've got a musician friend that my son actually channeled two songs to. And I have actually had those recorded in a studio, and they're on my website as a free gift. You can download the song. One's an instrumental and one's got lyrics, and you can download the music and the lyrics for free on my site, again, abutterfliesjourney.org. And it's just, I witnessed her once. We were just in my living room talking, and she asked me if I was going to, because I've got, again, 5 books out, and my first book was a memoir, and she asked me if I was going to do any music with the book, and I said, I hadn't thought about it, but that's an interesting idea. And right then she said, I've got to go get my keyboard in my car. And she came up and just put it literally on a little snack table in my house, and I witnessed her channeling this song, and I had this really strong emotional reaction to it, had no idea why. And afterwards I said to her, where did that come from? And she had never met my son. She looked around the room and saw a picture of him and said, that's where it came from. And so that was kind of in my mind, right? but anyway, you know, fast forward a few years, and this is one of my best stories about a sign that I received, is I was, for a while, I rented my house on the beach, and again, after one of those layoffs, there was a way for me to save it. But anyway, I rented it during the summer, and I moved into another house a mile or so away, which she had never been to. And I was about to unpack, decided to take a walk, and first night there, and I came, as I'm walking back to the house, she had never been there. She texted me and said, Brent says, be careful going up your front steps, Mom. Okay. Figured out that he channeled that song to her and realized she could hear him, he started giving her messages for me. So I got back to the house, and there was a wooden stair that was on the was cracked. And if I hadn't noticed it, and if I had stepped on that, I would have fallen and hurt myself. So she had never been there. Yeah. She had no idea what she was telling me, you know?
Right.
And so I want to write a book about signs like that that are suitable. You know, they're just, you know, they're not just simple signs. They're really concrete signs. So that's another mission.
Another
project.
Right, another book to write.
first book is Butterfly's Journey, Healing Grief After the Loss of a Child. It's a memoir. These are all on Amazon. My second one is called Faith, Finding Answers in the Heart, Volume 2, a collaborative with 13 other women. So each of us has a chapter about our story about different kinds of loss and life challenges. And then I co-authored two grief diaries, and Grief Diaries is an anthology series started by Linda Sheldon Fell. It's pretty amazing. And then my fifth book was is called Faces of Resilience, and it's a photo book about, you know, with a couple hundred of the of some of these photos that I take at these events. They're are my passion now. So anyway,
very awesome. I mean, truly gifted, and you know, truly a gift. You know, your work.
Oh,
you know, having worked with parents, and you know, having friends, and having suffered losses myself. I mean, it is a gift. You know, and
yeah,
it's appreciated. So,
so
have you be able to come aboard and, you know, join us on this and to impart your gifts upon others. So whatever we can do to help.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely. It really is my passion, and I love hearing people's stories. And, you know, some of the things they write in these photos that I take are just amazing. You know, grief is the price of love, or I had one woman that lost her son to an overdose, and she wrote on her skin, no blame, no shame, just love. You know, this it's just a madam. One woman, another one, a striking photo, because she was a black woman that had these brilliant orange colors on, and she just said, it's okay. You know, it's just, they come out with these amazing things, and sometimes we do photos, we do them of people individually, or couples, or groups, or families, or sometimes groups that are, you know, in these chapters, you know, that are working together on grief, or sometimes with animals. So I've got this amazing photo of this dog, a Dalmatian, called Holly. And her so owner came in, and she was a service dog. And so I took a photo of the mom, that's Betty Jean, and then with her husband, Jim. And then I said, Betty, you know, this dog is beautiful. Can I take a picture of you and your dog? And so we did that. And then I said, can I take just the dog? Oh my! So she put they'd lost her daughter, April, Robin April, and they put the picture, her picture on the dog's collar. And I've got this amazing photo of this dog, this beautiful black and white Dalmatian, just looking straight into the camera with, you know, with Robin April's picture on her collar. It's just stuff like that. It's just amazing. I just love it. And these people are so amazing. They're resilient. That's why we call it Faces of Resilience. They're all resilient for the losses they've been.
Exactly. No, I think it's so awesome. It really is. So, you know, we have the Faces of Resilience. We have the Butterfly's Journey. I guess, can we talk about that book? Because I think the title is so fascinating.
Okay.
And I'm wondering why you came up with that title.
Yeah, it's funny. I had something similar, and actually, and I had never been, you know, again, corporate world, but I'm not thinking about spirituality. I wasn't really, you know, I grew up in a Catholic, and then I kind of got away from it. And as an adult, you know, but after my son died, I was a butterfly's journey. The journey to me was a journey to figure out whether or not my son's spirit continued, whether all of our loved ones and parents and spouses or whatever spirits continue. And I now believe that they absolutely do. But that was kind of the journey. And I didn't even really know what spirituality meant. You know, I had quotas and deadlines. For IBM Internet. But when that happened, I stopped dead in my tracks and said, I need to figure this out. I had my first visit with a medium 4 months after my son died. And it was somebody that was, again, you should always be referred to someone, because unfortunately there are fakes out there. But a friend of mine, she was actually retired, this medium, and she was going through chemo for lung cancer. But she agreed to see me. And my first husband wasn't going to go. He wasn't crazy about the idea, but he went at the last minute. And she actually said some things that I didn't remember that he verified. Like I almost my knees locked. I almost passed out at the funeral. And, you know, he was able to confirm some of that stuff. So it was just really amazing. And then that spurred me. I had a lot of good theater friends, and they didn't run, right? They listened, but they also introduced me, like a good friend of mine, Mark, he's a shaman and an energy healer. And it's like I had never, you know, I was too busy, right? I wasn't thinking about stuff like that. So they got me to think about it, listen, and to keep it, get an open mind. And then I started, and I went for my first energy healing session, I think about 9 months after my son died, and it made a huge difference. It really felt great. And so then I tried all kinds of energy healing, you know, polarity and reflexology and Reiki and everything I could, you know, shamanic massage and anything I could find. And it all helped in its own way. And it made me open my mind. So and in that first book that you were asking about, I think the last chapter had the three most important things I learned, because I wrote the book 10 years after my son died. And, you know, one was really keep an open mind, which is number one, trust your own gut, because as much as people have a lot of advice, and really it's not useful for the most part, right? So if they're telling you, you know, you're grieving too long or you should do this or that, you know what you need. Trust your own gut and keep an open mind to try new things like energy healing or things that maybe you haven't tried before, and just give it a shot. You know what I mean? Because you'd be surprised at what helps you. Things like it's really all about the love. It's really the energy, the whole energy about love and the fact that the love continues. It doesn't stop. Love doesn't end when, you know, because of death. You know, that bond still continues. So I don't know. I could go on for a while. Sorry.
And you can. It's your show.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's true. Yeah, it's funny because people always say when they see a butterfly, it's like, oh, you know, that's my father, that's my sister, that's, you know, my niece, or, you know, I've always think it's birds, but, you know, and you selected the butterfly, so that's why I asked that question, and, you know, I do think that.
Butterfly, it's funny, the introduction of my book talks about the butterfly. It's an international symbol of transition. And they go, I mean, what other creature in life goes through a bigger transition than a butterfly, right? It starts out as a little crawly caterpillar, goes into this pupa with this, you know, totally enclosed in a, I forget even what the word, what they call it. But anyway, it's, and then emerges as a totally different creature. Beautiful, beautiful colors, wings. It's like, it's a major transition. And I really think of it as a transition related to grief as, the transition for us to go from having our loved one to not having our loved one, and the transition of our loved one from a physical life to a spiritual life. You know, it's all feels like it's tied together. But yes, I think in terms of signs and other things, it's not, they say red cardinals, you know. I've had a red cardinal, mm-hmm. I never see cardinals. I've had a red cardinal sit and come and sit on the railing outside my back door and just sit, look in the window. And I've got to tell you, can I tell you the story about the butterfly that's my logo?
Yes.
Sure.
You got a minute? So yes. About a month after my son died, this big monarch butterfly was on my deck. And my younger son, Brad, was here, and a friend of his, Patrick. And Patrick went out and he saw this butterfly. And the butterfly allowed him to pick it up and bring it in the house. And it allowed us to, like, we literally handed this butterfly between the three of us, took photos of it, would kind of blow softly on its wings. It would open its wings, allow us to take a photo. It never tried to get away for like 30 minutes. And then eventually it was like, what do we do with it? We just put it back out. Patrick put it back out on the deck, you know, where he found it, and it eventually flew away. But that was a month after my son died. Now, did I feel like that was some sort of presence related to my son? Sure. Can I prove it? No. But that is the logo. So I have a butterfly logo, which is literally a digital. That's my first digital camera, and it's a digital image, kind of on the side of that butterfly, which had been sitting on, I don't know, on my arm or my son's arm or Patrick's arm, and it, you know, basically resilience after loss. So the combination of the butterfly and resilience after loss is my logo. I've had people try to talk me out of that logo. You know, with branding.
No, that is so cool.
I'm not giving.
That is.
That's an amazing story. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's funny because that's a similar story to my logo, which is so weird. It's a mourning dove. So, and that's why I have my bird.
I do get that. Yeah. Everybody really, you know, just do what feels right, you know, and make decisions based on that. And I don't worry too much about other people's opinions. And I think generally that's a good thing. And especially when it comes to grief, because it's unfortunate that people, everybody's grief is unique. Everybody processes grief differently, and they should be allowed to do so and in their own time frame, right? You can't,
absolutely.
No, you're not, you don't have the same relationship as that person with that loss. And even if you've had a similar loss, it's not the same because it's not the same relationship. So everybody needs to do their own thing and figure out what helps them. And like I said, it's typically not just one thing. Typically it's, you find, you know, three things that help a little and you keep doing those, and then maybe you drop one and try a fourth and drop one and try a fifth, or, you know, things like that. Just keep trying stuff.
You know, that interesting you say that, because, you know, in my case, you know, there were four children and all four of us, there's no way you could expect all four of us to deal with our parents, and we all had the same parents. You cannot expect that we would all deal with that the same exact way.
No, you're all different ages, and you had different relationships with those parents.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and
so
people, that's
when
one
you,
of the things that...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
That's difficult.
That's one of the things.
That's one of the things that's difficult, because, say, when parents lose a child, you've got two different relationships and often two different genders. And so you're just going to process it differently. And people expect the other person to grieve like they do. And they don't. They
right.
never will. So it sometimes breaks up marriages because it's so difficult. My ex and I grieved very differently, and that was contributor. It was a catalyst to our marriage ending. It wasn't, you know, we had issues other than that. But it's very difficult because you really got to give the other person space and for them to grieve in their own way, and that's not easy. So what were you saying? What were you going to ask Ted before I interrupted you? Sorry.
Well, no, I was going to ask when, you know, you were talking about other kinds of losses aside from death, is the process exactly the same? I mean, do you work with people who are dealing with other kinds of losses? I mean, you know, I know with a pet, it could still be death. Or pet just gets lost. You don't know it died, right? People, you always see signs.
Yeah,
haven't
sure.
seen this cat or dog, right? So it could be just, you know, the loss, complete loss. The loss of a job, the loss of, it could be divorce, a relationship that goes bad. So do you work with people who are dealing with grieving some sort of loss, even though it wasn't a death? Does your organization still help people like that?
Yes, we do. And the grief recovery method does that. And even on the website, again, that there's a lot of different resources for different kinds of loss. And the grief recovery method does. And it's got, you know, we actually go through talking about the myths around grief and then short-term energy relieving behaviors that you may or may not realize that you have because of grief. Things like, you know, drinking or eating or, you know, what they call retail therapy, right? Or shopping. There's lots of different things that you may or may not realize you're doing because of your grief. So we just kind of talk about it, and then taking responsibility for your reaction to the loss. But then there's tools. There's a loss history graph where we kind of graph all different kinds of losses in your life. And then we pick one, like to tackle, or a relationship, you know, where we go through the pluses and minuses and really kind of cull out undelivered communications and kind of turn those into recovery components and a letter where we can actually get a chance to deliver and be heard delivering a lot of undelivered communications. And that's very powerful, because that's very often what, as grief will hold on, you'll hold on to grief a lot of times because you didn't get to say or do what you needed to for the person that was lost, or you didn't get to see that maybe the relationship was good and, you know, it ended, or maybe it was bad and it never got to be good because it ended too soon. You know, this, you know, again, and that's whether it's, you know, death, divorce or end of a relationship, loss of health, major financial changes, moving, and so many other kinds of loss, you know, you can find ways for those tools to help, basically.
Interesting. And I'll just share. I mean, I had a former colleague and I worked for a consulting firm, and this guy, he was, you know, you say when a man has really big balls, I mean, this guy served in Vietnam. His helicopter was shot and he crash landed the helicopter and got out and walked away with not even a scratch, like his hair wasn't even out of place. So so the military said, how did you do that? And he said, oh, it was easy. You did this, this, and this. And he said, okay, that's your new job. And he was paid to intentionally crash over 120 helicopters. And that's what he trained other pilots how to do that. So this guy was, you know, he was a, you could say a master in his work, you know, working, consulting, working with other companies. He had worked before that, worked as a turnaround CEO. Companies would just drop him into a company and he had to fix it or break it up and sell it. So this guy, he and I got along really well. You know, I was the youngest guy in the company and he was the oldest by maybe 17, 15 years maybe.
Uh-huh.
Except he took to me really well, and you know, he would invite me to his house out in Vermont and skiing, snowboarding, all that stuff. And the last time I saw him, it was like, hey man, you know, I love you. You're just a great guy, man. And I hugged him, and you know, I didn't speak to him for several months, and I called, and he died. And he was dealing with all kinds of other, you know, hepatitis. But it's to what you're saying, like unspoken messages. Undelivered communication. I because my last words with him were like I said everything I ever wanted to say to him. I felt like at peace with him, even though, you know, like the affinity and the time I you know, spent with him, his wife, you know, his wife is really great. But it didn't feel like, God, I really wish I would have said something. Now, when I lost my father, there were things that I wish I could have experienced with my father. Like I never took my mother out for Mother's Day. I never got to have a beer with my dad. So there were like so much undelivered communication.
Sure.
So I'm saying though, writing a letter, dealing with the undelivered communication, and I guess I'm also saying, you know, you, when you're close and have a great friendship or family ship with someone, never be afraid to say the things that you want, because you never know when it's the last time you'll speak to them.
Yeah.
It does really support if something does happen, like it's like you can be at peace with that.
Yeah, grief is a really good teacher, and one of the big things that I learned is it taught me almost instantly like what's important and what's not, and you carry that for, especially with traumatic loss like that, you carry that forward in your life, and you know, I really don't waste time on anything that, you know, is negative or trivial, you know, it's just unimportant and things like that, being able to express yourself. So every single time my grandkids, for instance, I tell them Nana loves you and you know, every time and multiple times a day, because I just want them to always remember, you know, Nana loves you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, true. It's very true. Yeah. It's very important.
And you were saying,
thinking.
I'm sorry, please keep going.
No, I just say what you're thinking. No, that's all. I was just finishing the sentence. Go ahead.
Okay. So you at the same time you are a, you know, an advocate of therapy, you're just not doing the same thing as therapy. So it's, You made a point of saying that the work you do is very action oriented to get people fully engaged with their own thoughts and feelings. And therapy does that, but there are specific action steps. And the work you do is finite, correct? It takes X amount of months.
It's action-based, and again, it's evidence-based, right, which is a scientific proving of the results. It became evidence-based, I think, a couple of years ago at Kent State, through Kent State University's process. But it's a 7-week class. I think the Pet Loss one is a 6-week class. There's actually a class for helping people when they have to deal with grieving children. It's not for children. The class is for adults dealing with children, you know. So, yeah, it's a finite thing, and it's got tools, and it's got, you know, homework and actions, and then you can reuse it. So the process is you go through the whole process, and the last three steps relate to a particular relationship, but if you have more than one to deal with, you've then learned how to use the tools. You can either use, you know, a specialist help like myself to go then through the last three steps with other relationships, or you can do it on your own because you've learned to use the tools, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And if someone wants to get a hold of you, what are all the different ways they can contact you?
Oh, yeah. I should mention that. All right. So, again, I'll repeat that the site is 8butterfliesjourney.org, and that's possessive, not plural, F-L-Y-S. And then my phone number is 617-410-6309. And you can email me at info@abutterfliesjourney.org. And I'll just repeat, the phone number is 617-410-6309. And I do free 30-minute calls to, you know, answer questions or just to help people or to talk about things. And you can schedule it. Let's see. You know, I shorten it in, you know, one of those bit.ly type things. It's, you know, bit.ly/GRM-call, C-A-L-L. It's just a schedule. You know, schedule free calls to talk through stuff.
Okay. All right. And you're in Massachusetts, so I assume your location, where someone's located, is really irrelevant, correct?
No, really. Other than being able to speak English, that's all I need. I'll deal with time zones, no problem. I've been in 54 countries, and I'm really used to dealing with different time zones, so that's not an issue. And I can do everything over Zoom and the phone, and so that's not a problem. So, you know, and occasionally, especially, you know, when we're careful about things or before COVID, I did things in person for people that were local to me, and the support group is local. But otherwise, yeah, I'm doing stuff all over. And I also, if people are doing events where they think a photo shoot would be useful, you know, I'll work with them to basically come and do a photo shoot. It's just there aren't a lot of events happening this year until we get through this pandemic.
Right, right.
But
any
but
final
yeah.
words of wisdom, final words of wisdom you'd like to offer to people?
Oh, I think, really be kind to yourself. Trust your gut in terms of what you need, because nobody knows better than you what you need, and keep an open mind to trying new things. But self-care is so, so, so important. You really can't help or be there for others around you until you take care of yourself. So, you know, pamper yourself once in a while, or take the time to take the walks in nature, or to get a massage, or whatever you need to do. But, you know, be good to you. And it's all
very
about
good
love. It really is.
Yeah. This is so
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for helping the world. I could go on and on. So it's just a pleasure to have you. Yeah.
It was a pleasure
as our
to
guest.
Talk with you guys. Thank you for inviting me.
No, it's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing so much. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for who listened. This is a very intimate and personal topic, and sometimes people are a little shy. You now know how to get a hold of Barbara in different ways. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And making our show a success. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right,
thanks.
Everyone,
take care.
Have a great week. See you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.